This week's edition of Fantasy Pick and Roll may sound a little bit like Dear Mr. Fantasy because finally, after podcast upon podcast upon podcast of promising and pleading and telling you that we're going to read your emails, we finally did our due process and we brought emails into the podcast studio. So here we are. We're going to read your emails. We're going to get you caught up on all of the latest and greatest basketball news heading into, what are we, week five now?
Fantasy week five.
Fantasy week five. So we've got you covered like nobody else because that's the way we do things here at CBSSports.com. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the best in the business, Sergio Gonzalez, the reigning fantasy basketball writer of the year. Sergio just beat the pants off of me in one of our basketball leagues because of Mehmet Okur deciding to come down with some sort of ailment.
He's got the flu.
Not play the entire week. So not that that was the only reason, but it was a significant reason because I think you beat me by like 60 points or something like that.
Yeah. No, and there was a big gap throughout most of the week, but you closed it, I think, on Saturday with all those games, and it got real tight there.
Yeah. Plus Danilo Gallinari deciding to take a game off and only get two rebounds early in the week. In any event, Sergio deserves the win. Congratulations to you. I also lost, brutal, to Alex Reith Miller.
Yeah, he had a bad week.
Our PR guy here at CBSSports.com. And losing to him, because you will never, ever, ever hear the end of it. I've beaten Alex. I want to say I've been in that league with him for 3 years now. I won the championship my first year. I was in the finals the second year and lost. And the first year, I beat him in the championship.
Right.
And last year, I think I may have lost to him once throughout the course of being in that league. And so I take pride in beating him. I hate that I lose to him.
I'll tell you what, you did gain some significant ground in the Rotisserie League.
I did.
You're in second place
I
now.
I did. But so I'm chasing you because you're in first.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. You should be first. I should be second. In any event, all right, let's get you caught up on the latest news and some of the information going on here in the basketball and NBA world. Let's start with some injuries because we're looking at a handful of guys I think that a lot of people are looking at, and you may or may not still be setting your lineup by the time you listen to this, but still it could have an impact on you as the week goes on and maybe going forward. So Tracy McGrady is going to potentially come back soon. The MRI was scheduled for Monday,
right?
November 23rd, and we'll know what the results are and his expected return will be. I still don't think you're going to see him until really January at the earliest.
Yeah, I think fantasy owners got a little excited when he came out and said two weeks ago now, that he was targeting November 18th. Obviously, that date came and went. But it sounds like there are actually reports that he's been fighting is the right word with his head coach there in Houston. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's very eager to return, and the team isn't ready for him to come back. I don't know if that's because they don't want to upset the rotation that they have. That's actually worked rather well for them early on.
They're playing better than I think a lot of people expected.
So I don't know if it's they don't want to mess with that rotation, if they don't want to have him come back just to suffer another setback and be out for the season or whatnot. But at the moment, fantasy owners probably shouldn't expect to have him in their lineups for at least another couple weeks.
Yeah, the best example you can look at is Gilbert Arenas, because if you remember 2 years ago, Gilbert Arenas was expected to miss the entire season. He came back late in the year, and then he really struggled the next season as well because he set himself back. So I think you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective. We've talked about this before. You don't want to see Tracy McGrady. If you drafted him with the hopes that you can use him in your fantasy second half of the season, fantasy playoffs, you want to see him take his time and come back at 100%, and that, I think, is what you drafted him for. You didn't draft him really to be a significant contributor throughout the course of the regular season.
Right, and I think the good news here is that when he does return, I think you should feel comfortable that the team and the player are going to be 100% comfortable with the fact that he's probably not going to be at risk of any setbacks. So when he does return, it's because both sides feel that he's ready to do so, and he's not going to be coming back early.
And let's not make any mistakes that you're looking at a Rockets team where Aaron Brooks has become a good fantasy option. Trevor Ariza has been a fantastic fantasy option. You're talking about guys like Kyle Lowry who have been good off, in terms of low-end bench guys or potential starters coming off of fantastic week 4. obviously Luis Scola has played well, and Carl Landry, and even to a lesser extent Chuck Hayes. So there have been guys that have been good fantasy options, and I think that will continue as long as McGrady's out.
Right.
Another guy who I think is coming back, or potentially coming back sooner than expected, is Mike Dunleavy. I think if I recall at the end of last year, there was thoughts that he was not going to return, at least until February also, and maybe not even at all this season. And now there's news that he could be coming back as early as...
He could be back within the next week. The news that broke on Sunday was that he could return at some point this week. That's mm-hmm. been refuted a little bit. That's another situation where the player kind of jumps the gun a little bit. Dunleavy said that he could be back within the next week, and the team is saying, hold off. It's probably another week and a half or so. But it's something to keep an eye on for the next scoring period. If he returns, he could have a negative impact on players like Dante Jones, who stepped up there. Also,
Brandon Rush.
And it's something to keep an eye on.
He can impact everybody. I mean, he can impact even
Danny Granger in some form. We're already seeing a decline in a player like Roy Hibbert, who with the return of Troy Murphy has seen a drop off in production. So that could have some ramifications up and down the lineup there.
It's interesting because this team is hanging around. You know, yeah. I mean, no, it's early, and to say hanging around is.
Kind of like Houston.
Not exactly. Well, Houston, I think Houston is not necessarily going to be, just because they're in the Western Conference,
right.
They're not going to be a playoff caliber team. But
they're playing above what people thought because of all the injuries.
I mean, listen, T.J. Ford hasn't been healthy, and, you know, they've gotten good play. Like you said, Dante Jones has played well. Roy Hibbert, I think, has taken a huge leap forward, and to your credit, you called that before the season started. And then without Troy Murphy being in there, who was such a key cog for them last season, you know, getting him back and getting potentially Dunleavy back, they'll be in the mix. You know, whether or not they make the playoffs, they'll be one of those teams that hang around. Sticking with the theme of knee injuries, Michael Redd is expected to come back in week 5. I would say you're probably better off if you could afford to keep him on your bench, let him get a week under his feet.
The tricky part here with Redd is that the Bucks do play 4 games. They have some favorable matchups. Now, with that said, the coach Scott Skiles is saying that he's going to use him off the bench, and his minutes are going to be limited at least the first game, possibly for the next couple of games. So it's a tricky situation for fantasy owners. Like Jamie said, if you have options that you've been going to with Redd out and they've been useful to you, it's a good idea to just play it safe this week, just in case he could be one of those players that gets in there and suffers a setback. You never know. So if you can, play it safe.
Yeah, the one thing, though, to keep in mind, he is not a guy that gets to the basket, so it's not like he's relying on his explosiveness. The one thing about a shooter is if a shooter gets hot in a particular game, he can carry a fantasy week because that can lead to 1 game, to 2 games, to potentially 3 games if he stays hot. So that's something just to keep an eye on with Redd. So I think it depends on who's on your roster and maybe what you're missing or what you're lacking, especially if you're missing 3-pointers in a rotisserie league. He's not a bad option to throw in there. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this Milwaukee team can look like because we see some nice parts. Obviously, Brandon Jennings is running away with the Rookie of the Year award.
Right.
There's no one even close. You know, Tyreke Evans is having a nice year. Any other year, Tyreke Evans would be the Rookie of the Year through this part of the season. But Brandon Jennings is by far and away. And I think if I'm every college program, I'd be petrified that other high school talents will follow this guy's lead.
He is setting a bad example.
Yes.
Because not everybody's going to be as successful as Brandon Jennings, and
sure,
a lot of people are going to think that they can be.
So. Yes. Andrew Bogut is still dealing with, what's the injury? Knee? Elbow?
I believe it's a knee injury, actually. But he is going to...
He's missing at least 2 weeks.
2 to 4. Yeah. 2 to 4 weeks. And so far in the starting lineup, it's been Dan Gadzirich who's replaced him, but he's been doing nothing. The player... as far as centers, who's been able to step up? Actually, it's been Kurt Thomas, the veteran, who's had a couple of decent games. The player who's gotten the best overall fantasy boost has been Ersan Ilyasova. How would you?
Ersan Ilyasova.
Ilyasova. Mm-hmm. He's been the player who's gotten the biggest fantasy boost, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a player who, even before the injury, was putting together some decent stat lines.
He had one or two good games, and then all of a sudden he's
right.
really
now
taken
up. Right, now he's able to put together those stat lines more consistently, and he's a player who I think is going to have a real good chance of helping you out as far as maybe being a number 3 fantasy forward based on matchups. Again, I like the Bucks matchups in week 5, so if you can plug him in there, you can. It's a good idea. Hakeem Warrick is a player who may not be as consistent,
Boo.
But he had one good game in there. replacing in the two games since Andrew Bogut's been out. I think he had like 9 rebounds.
He's just, you said the word though, he's too inconsistent.
But he is inconsistent. So in a deeper league, if Ilyasova is not available to you and you need a flyer, a guy like Hakeem Warrick could be helpful. But like Jamie said, he's not consistent at all.
Mike Bibby day to day. Anything worse than that?
No, he is day to day. The Hawks have just 3 games this week, so fantasy owners should play it safe. It's not just the injury there. He's also seen a decline in his production thanks to the presence of Jamal Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
If Bibby is out for any extended amount of time, which at this point, like I said, he's just day to day. But if he is, that would help Jamal Crawford, because the fact that Bibby and Crawford are there has led to inconsistency out of both players. If one player were to be out, then the other player would be able to become a consistent, reliable fantasy option again. But right now, yeah, Bibby is just day to day.
Fill me in on Washington, because I know Caron Butler is dealing with an injury, and also Mike Miller.
Yeah, Caron Butler suffered a minor injury at practice on Monday. It does sound like he should be able to play on Tuesday, but fantasy owners should be aware of the injury at least. Mike Miller, he was a little bit banged up on Friday. He played through it, played again on Saturday, and suffered a different injury, this time to his, I believe it was his ankle. He's going to be replaced in the starting lineup by Nick Young on Tuesday, which makes it sound like he won't be available for that game. The Wizards have just 3 games this week, so you're going to want to avoid him. Caron Butler, I think you should still start.
Okay. Dealing with the injury situation in New Orleans, obviously Chris Paul is still dealing with his ankle problem, is going to be out another week.
Right.
At least. Who is the guy you recommend picking up of the 3 guys who have done their best to replace him? Not just him, but the 3 guys who are getting minutes in the guard rotation. When you look at Darren Collison, Thornton, and then Devin Brown, what do you deal with these 3 guys? Rank them in order for me if you had to pick up one.
Yeah, right now it's been a conjointed effort. They've all been pitching in. I think Darren Collison, we've talked about this in the past, has the best upside of the group.
He was great against Atlanta last week.
Marcus Thornton's been stepping up off the bench. They both had a great game the other day against Miami and against Atlanta also over the weekend. I would say they're 1 and 2. I'd go Collison 1, Thornton 2. In deeper leagues, the 2 Browns, Devin Brown and Bobby Brown, have been pitching in.
Mm-hmm.
They're more stopgap options for it. Fantasy owners should consider, however, that the Hornets played just 2 games this week, so in cumulative leagues, you're probably not looking at any of these guys this week. In an average-based league, I'd go with Collison 1, then I'd go Thornton 2, then Devin Brown 3, and Bobby Brown 4.
Is it has the sun set on Quentin Richardson?
Yeah, he's done.
Done as a fantasy option.
Yeah,
not done,
he's done
for the season.
No. He's day-to-day as far as his current injury, but yeah, I think his days as a reliable fantasy option are, at this point, are done. Until you see any kind of until you see him string a couple of solid games together, I wouldn't start him in any league.
Speaking of the sun setting on someone's fantasy value, now that Paul Gasol is back, he made his return last Friday, is it time to bench Lamar Odom in all leagues?
Yeah, I think fantasy owners are going to want to bench him. This is something we've been warning you about since the preseason. Since we found out that Ron Artest was going to be joining the Lakers, it just added another mouth to feed, basically, in L.A. Last year, like we've been talking about, when that team was fully healthy, Lamar Odom wasn't a reliable fantasy option. And now the team is pretty close to fully healthy again. And again, Lamar Odom has dropped. His averages are actually, he's averaging under 10 points per game again, which is more along the lines of what we saw from him in the first half of last season before Andrew Bynum went down with his injury.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about this off the air before. You still should hang on to Lamar Odom, because you never know with Bynum. He could get hurt at any
time. And Gasol.
And Gasol. Any one of those guys.
Sure.
An injury. He's an injury away from being a fantasy stud.
Yeah, last year everybody gave up on him and started dropping him.
And then in the second half he was a fantasy stud. So he's not a recommended play right now. He could still get you some decent rebounding and some of the peripheral stats in deeper category-based leagues if you're not relying on him as a scorer, and you can carry his erratic numbers in scoring, then he could still be of some use.
Yep.
He's just no longer a must-start in fantasy.
I have to make a decision in that league, the 6-on-6 league. This is a league Sergio and I play in, the one I referenced before about Alex Reith-Miller, our PR guy here. It's a very tricky league with the bench spots because there's no injured spots, no injured reserve.
Right.
And so you start six guys. You start any combination of two guards, two forwards. It's two guards, two forwards, one center, and then one wild card spot. Yeah, any of the other positions.
Okay.
So
right.
You're saying okay. Like,
no, because I actually thought it was 2-2-2. I didn't realize.
It's not 2-2-2.
I've been starting two. I have two good centers.
So do
in the
I.
League, but.
Same thing. But it's 2-2-1, and then one flex spot, wherever you want.
I didn't realize that.
The bench spots, however, you have to carry, I believe you can only carry four guards, four forwards, or three centers on your bench, including your starting lineup. So you can only carry that amount of players. So that makes it a little tricky. And then the no injured spots. So I drafted Lamar Odom with a mid to late round pick. And I have to make a decision now because it's a very shallow league.
That is a very shallow league.
You have a lot of player movement on that league. Like, for example, I picked up Udonis Haslam after his hot start. I recently dropped him. I was surprised the guy was still sitting there. Was Carl Landry. So I picked up Carl Landry for Udonis Haslam. Very happy with that move. But it's one of those scenarios where now I have to basically carry dead weight in Lamar Odom.
Yes.
And this is one of those leagues, and I'm sure a lot of people have shallow benches like this, where you have to make a decision on someone like that because players will pop up on a weekly basis. So it's interesting to see what owners will do with guys like Lamar Odom. Another guy, just to touch on, because he's played well the last two games, and I think it has to do with Bibby's struggles, is Marvin Williams. Awful start. Unbelievably awful start. And now he's starting to show a little signs of life. Do you pick him up? Do you carry somebody like that with the hope that maybe with Bibby's injury he starts to play well? It's almost like there's three guys on that team that affect each other. It's Marvin Williams, Jamal Crawford, and Bibby, because the other guys get their numbers. Al Horford does what he does. He's a double-double guy. He's 10-10, very safe. Josh Smith is having a bounce-back year from a disappointing year last year, playing absolutely fantastic, and we know Joe Johnson's the star of that team. So those other three guys, it almost seems like a rotation, and now maybe it's Marvin Williams' turn.
Yeah, the good news with Williams is that we're seeing him take upwards of 15 to 20 shots per game. And that's something that when that team is healthy, there's just not that many shots for him to go around. He's a very talented player who, in the last few years, fantasy owners have been waiting for a breakout season out of him because he has that ability.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't have the role. And on an Atlanta team with a lot of options, it's going to take situations like this where there's a player down that allows for him to take more shots in the offense. Because if he just gets a bigger role, he has the ability to put up these kinds of numbers. In the last few games, he had a 29.9 rebound performance against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He had 17 points and I believe and 6 rebounds against the Hornets. And that's the type of ability he's had, and fantasy owners have known that for some time. Now he has that role, and he's absolutely worth starting in situations where he's hot. So
I want to run down quickly before we get some emails. The most added players. I want you to tell me definite add, maybe Adam, depending on your situation, or not so much anymore.
Okay.
All right. We covered Ilyasova. He's the most added player. Obviously, I think he's worth picking up at this point. Drew Gooden.
Drew Gooden is absolutely, especially in leagues where he's eligible at center, you're going to have to check your eligibility there. He is absolutely worth starting. He's putting up huge numbers with Eric Dampier out. Dampier is out indefinitely still. He's absolutely worth plugging into your lineups, even for this four-game scoring period. Dallas has the most favorable matchups in fantasy leagues this week. Yeah, pick them up.
Give me two of these three guys to start. This is my biggest decision in my my keeper league. Between a center and a forward, and I can move David Lee to forward, so that will allow some flexibility. Boris Diaw, Drew Gooden, Emeka Okafor. Give me two to start.
For this week, Boris Diaw, Drew Gooden, and Emeka Okafor. The Hornets.
That's an average, basically.
I was going to say, the Hornets played two games.
He's been terrible.
His numbers have declined. Offensively, his rebounding has still been there.
Well, his game against the Heat on Sunday was
awful.
But
his scoring chances have obviously diminished without Chris Paul setting him up. So I would count him as the third option there. I would go with Gooden and Boris Diaw.
Okay. Dante Jones is the third most added player, CBSSports.com. Still must add? Or now it's just
for
a,
the time being. Because,
or is it just
again,
a maybe add?
No, I still think he's a good add, and he's a good, especially if we're talking about setting your lineup for week 5 at this point. Dunleavy, I don't think, is going to be back yet, so you still have maybe another week or two of juice to get out of Dante Jones. So I think you can add him right now. Just don't rely on him as a long-term option.
Jason Williams with the news of, obviously, Jameer Nelson, which we covered before, Jameer Nelson being out. Jason Williams, a must-add?
It depends on the size of your league. I think in deeper leagues...
He's a maybe. Add.
He's a maybe. He had one game where he had 9 assists last week. He's just not going to be very consistent. He's going to get minutes, but his numbers aren't going to be very consistent.
Chris Douglas Roberts.
Oh, absolutely, he's a must-add. I think at this point, you could even say he's a must-start. I know Devin Harris is back, and that's going to be something worth monitoring this week. Devin Harris was only around for 2 games this season, so we haven't exactly gotten that dynamic going yet with how Chris Douglas Roberts, is he going to be able to keep scoring 20 points per game with Devin Harris healthy?
I think he can.
I think he can, personally. He was my start of the week this week. I like New Jersey's matchups. Chris Douglas Roberts has been a player who's been around 20 points, 5 and like 4, something like that. So he's not only a must add, he's already a must start.
He's somebody that I consider starting against you in that matchup where I did not have Mehmet Okur.
I'm glad you didn't.
I'm glad. I'm sure you are. Number 6 most added player, as we talked about, Mike Dunleavy, with the hope that he returns. Number 7 is interesting. Rudy Fernandez. Guy has been playing fairly well, and we saw last year the same thing in spurts. He was very good last year. And I think with the injury to Travis Outlaw, this could continue for Rudy Fernandez.
Yeah, with Outlaw gone, like you said, the team needs a scoring option off the bench. Rudy Fernandez is a great shooter, and he's one of those players, like you mentioned earlier, that he's a shooter, and when he gets hot, he can blow up.
Yeah, but we're seeing his playmaking improve. His assist numbers are actually pretty decent. I think he's averaging about 4 to 5 assists in his last, 5 to 6 games, maybe since Outlaw went out. And let's not forget, he was also in the dunk contest, so he's not just strictly a shooter. He's a guy that can get to the rim, too.
No, absolutely. But what I was referring to is that he can get hot.
Yes.
He can put together 20-point games. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you can rely on him consistently for that type of production, but he's absolutely worth scoop, especially in category-based leagues, because he is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
Yes. Will Bynum is the number 8th most added player at CBSSports.com. I think that's pretty self-explanatory with the injuries to the Pistons when you talk about Richard Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince. Are we going to see those guys anytime soon? I know they're waiting to come back from their road trip, and that's a potential possibility for them to return. But
Tayshaun is out indefinitely. There's no timetable for him. He's probably not going to be back for another week.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Hamilton is closer to returning. He could be back later this week. He's not worth starting in fantasy just yet in a weekly format. Will Bynum is a little bit of a ticking time bomb. I'd say he's a sell-high candidate because as soon as Richard Hamilton gets back, then it becomes Stuckey and Ben Gordon and
Hamilton.
So I think Will Bynum is the odd man out there. So I definitely wouldn't consider him a long-term option at this point.
This guy is somebody that we talked about. I think we both agreed that we'd like to see him on a different team, but he was drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And James Harden is playing well with the minutes that he's getting, but he's just not really getting the chance to play as many minutes as he possibly could because of the guys in front of him at those respective positions. But he's played well the last few games, and I think definitely somebody to take a flyer on if you can.
Yeah, they're using him more at shooting guard. I think if he could play better defense, he would be able to take over for Thabo Sefolosha there. Mm-hmm. Sefolosha is getting minutes ahead of him because of his defensive ability.
Mm-hmm.
With a rookie, it's hard to rely on him to be a stopper of any sort. But if he can develop in that area as the season goes on, he could be a huge second-half fantasy sleeper.
And then the last of the top 10 most added players, Peja Stojakovic. Listen, again, shooter, gets hot, and they're giving him minutes again. I'm glad he's team starting. I like this move, and I think he could continue to play well.
He's actually been this recent boost for him has been directly correlated to the absence of Chris Paul for whatever reason. I don't see the connection how because obviously Chris Paul is a point guard, and I guess his shot attempts have gone up as a result, but as long as Chris Paul is out right now, it seems like he's going to be producing around 17 points per game, which has been his last 5 games.
And just to catch everybody up, you can check out this feature at fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbsports.com. The most added, most dropped, and most viewed players. This is one of the best tools you could possibly have to see who is being picked up throughout the course of fantasy basketball and maybe give you an idea of some guys either to look at or to pick up. But the most dropped players, mostly due to injury and some guys returning from injury in their respective spots, but Kalina Azubuike, Tony Douglas, Andre Blatch, Matt Barnes, Rajah Bell, Maurice Spates, Eric Dampier, Grant Hill, Corey Brewer, and Jameer Nelson are the 10 most dropped players. And the 10 most viewed players, a lot of the guys we just talked about, Mike Dunleavy,
Ilyasova.
Ursa Ilyasova, James Harden, Drew Gooden, Will Bynum, Tyreek Evans, Luke Ridenour, Darren Collison, Rudy Fernandez, and Dante Jones. And just to wrap this up, the most traded players, Dwight Howard, Brandon Roy, Caron Butler, Rajon Rondo, Brandon Jennings, Jose Calderon, Elton Brand, Derrick Rose, Amari Stoudemire, and Tony Parker. Two things on those most traded players. Is Dwight Howard a bust so far?
No, his numbers haven't been what fantasy owners have expected. His blocks have been down. His rebounding hasn't been great. But he's a monster who's at some point is going to wake up and give you the type of production that everybody knows he's capable of. I wouldn't consider him a bust by any means.
Not a bust in terms of his play, but a bust of where you drafted him versus his value.
No, I still think he's going to give you that over enough of a part of the season. I mean, we're only talking about the first month of the season right now. Mm-hmm. There's plenty to go.
But how much of this, though, could be a direct correlation of Vince Carter?
I don't see that being...
And now with Rashard Lewis back, those are just more shots to go around.
I don't see that.
Because Hidu was unselfish compared to Carter.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think it's more of him sleepwalking through the first month of the season. I've watched some Magic games where he just doesn't seem to have that fire that he had early on last season. If you remember going into last season, he took it upon himself. He said he was going to lead the league in blocks. He did. He said he was going to lead the league in rebounding. He did. And he just seemed to have a little bit more emphasis on doing these things. Where this season, I think he's kind of been on cruise control in the early going. And I think at some point the switch is going to be flipped and fantasy owners are going to get what they expect from Dwight Howard. So I wouldn't be too worried about it. I know we're a month into the season, but I still think he has it in him.
Is now the time to trade for Elton Brand?
I think...
Or is his value too high right now?
I think right now he's more of a sell high than somebody that you go get. Because, again, remember his numbers before Maurice Spates went down with an injury. They weren't very good.
But Spates is out for 6 to 8 weeks.
But at some point he's going to come back and then...
Yeah, but you'll take Elton Brand's production like this for 8 weeks, and I can't imagine that if Elton Brand is playing at this level that Spates is going to cut into his production.
We've seen it in the past. Elton Brand had a few games earlier this year that he was producing at this level.
No,
he did.
Not at this level.
He did.
Not
he did
at this
for,
level.
It was like a two to three game
I'm
run.
I'm going
to
look it up. There's
it was a two
no
to three
chance.
Game run. Where
no
he was,
chance.
And then he just disappeared off the face of the earth. I just think at this point, you get what you can out of him. And when Spates comes back, I just don't see him maintaining this type of production. He won't necessarily go back to the single-digit scorer and erratic rebounder that he was, but I don't think he's going to be able to maintain this type of production.
Okay, so two of his first three games, he was 17-6 and 16-7. If that's what you mean by playing at this level, then I'll give you that. But since his last four games, 19-11 against Charlotte on November 18th, 22-6 against Memphis on November 20th, and then 18-14 against Cleveland. That's the level I'm talking about.
He's averaging 16-8 over his last five.
Okay.
Elton Brand I'm talking about.
Yes.
I don't think he maintains that when Maurice Spates comes back.
See, I think...
That's not to say he's going to go back to the really, really bad Elton Brand that he was just a couple weeks ago. But I think if you can get somebody to trade for him at this value, thinking that he's going to give you 16-8 the rest of the season...
You don't think he's capable of 16-8 the rest of the season? If he's giving you 16-8 for 8 weeks that Maurice Spates is out, all of a sudden Maurice Spates comes back and it's okay, Elton, you're playing 19 minutes again, 29 minutes again, as opposed to 35 minutes again. The guy who they have the most money invested to on that team and the guy who's a proven all-star and has taken the team to the playoffs before.
Elton Brand he burned me last year and he burned a lot of fantasy owners early on in this season.
Last two years, he burned a lot of people.
Personally, I don't think he can maintain this over the course of an entire season.
Based on what?
Based off of what we've seen out of him the last 2 years.
Okay, but when healthy, what has he been?
When healthy, he's been... No, he was healthy for a good part of last season.
He was coming off of a torn Achilles tendon.
Yes, but he was healthy.
And he had a shoulder injury.
He was healthy last season for the entire second half, and he didn't do very well.
He didn't play the entire second half.
He was healthy for... when he was on the floor, he was healthy until he suffered.
Oh, no, he tried to play through that shoulder injury.
See... No, I'm not going to give you.
You're just not trusting him. I understand.
No,
that.
Right.
That's a different story. But but to say that Maurice Spates is going to come back and take minutes away from him, I think that's not exactly the case that's going to happen. When you're talking about a proven double double guy who is playing at a double double level right now.
No, he's absolutely playing at the level that fantasy owners were. If fantasy owners would, when they were drafting him, and he was going around
round five, round six,
round five, round six, they would have taken these numbers that he's giving you right now. But when the team was at its at its healthiest this season, he was nowhere near these numbers.
Agreed.
This could,
but you're also talking about a guy that needed to work himself into shape after missing all the time that he did last year. He didn't play the majority of the season last year because of the shoulder injury. And now that he's in shape and playing well, plus the fact that this is what they expected when they gave him this big contract, I can't see Maurice Spates, who's a nice young player, coming back and taking these minutes away from him. Now,
I'm not saying he's going to take them. And like I said, he's not going to go back to playing 19 minutes per game like he was earlier. But the present Maurice Spates, they view him as a future front court star for them.
Okay.
They're going to
give him
minutes.
They still have two more years invested in Elton Brand.
I understand that. But they're going to give him minutes. And it's not that they're going to completely toss us. They're going to get what they can from Elton Brand. They're also going to get what they can from Maurice Spates. And that the presence of Maurice Spates is going to automatically lead to less minutes. Not a huge drop off in minutes, but less minutes and less touches for Elton Brand, where he's not going to be able to maintain this on a consistent basis, I don't think.
He has played 30 minutes 6 times this year. Of those times that he's played at least 30 minutes, he's been in double figures in points 5 of the 6 times, and he's had a double-double 2 of the 6 times. So if you're telling me that he does not get 30-plus minutes, he's not a starting fantasy option?
Yeah. He's averaging 30 minutes in November. He's averaging 29 minutes per game. I think once Maurice Spates comes back, it's going to be around 25 to 20.
What? Sergio.
It's going to be more 25 to 30.
Sergio.
It's going to be more 25.
You're telling me. Hold on. Okay. You're telling me that Maurice Spates.
Yes.
You're putting your money on Maurice Spates.
No, I still think out of the two, I still think Elton Brand will be the better
to take option. 20 minutes away. It's not, from Elton Brand.
Where do you see 20 minutes away?
You're telling me 25 minutes a game for him.
I say it's going to be more of along the lines of 25 to 30 than it is 30 to 35, which is what we're seeing now. Right now he's more 30 to 35. I think when Spates gets back, it goes more 25 to 30. It's still going to be around 30
minutes. You're telling me a healthy Elton Brand, who's putting up 18 points and 14 rebounds, which he's capable of.
Right.
Or let's just go a little bit more realistic. He's capable. He was a 20-10 guy before the Achilles tendon.
Yes.
So you're telling me 20
with the Clippers.
20-10
with the Clippers.
Okay, in the Western Conference.
Yes.
20-10 in the Eastern Conference is very doable at the power forward position.
No, yeah. But that was what I'm making reference to. There is that was a long time ago.
Agreed. I don't think he's the same player, nor do I think he's going to get back to being that on a consistent basis. However, he's proven in his career, and when healthy, listen, he's not an old guy. He's how old is he? He's 30.
Right.
So we're not talking about a guy that's 35 and older. We're not talking about Shaq. He's 30. He's still in the prime of his career. Healthy now, probably for the first time in 2 years. On a team that's feeding him the ball. He's had 13, 14, 17, 11 shot attempts, plus he's getting to the foul line 4 times a game. You're telling me that Maurice Spates comes back, Elton Brand's fantasy value goes in the toilet.
Let's put it this way. Here, I'm looking at Spates' last few games before he got hurt. He had 20 points and 8 rebounds against Phoenix. He had 19 points and 9 rebounds against the Nets.
Okay.
He had 15 points and it looks like 6 or 7 rebounds against Detroit. That player is going to play when he gets back.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think it comes at the expense of Samuel Dalembert. I don't think it comes at the expense of Elton Brand. And I also think that if Brand's 100%, he's getting the majority of touches in the power forward position.
I completely agree with you that Elton Brand is going to remain viable in fantasy. I just think that if you can sell him on the production that he's giving you right now without Spates, then you can turn him into a player that could possibly sustain that kind of production after Spates gets back. If you can get a fantasy.
But why would you do that now and not 8 weeks
from
now?
No. I just said he's a sell-high candidate. I also said you should get the most of him while you can. So I think you make that trade a little bit closer to Spates' return than you do. It's not like you have to trade him out.
No, that's definitely smart advice.
I view him as a sell-high candidate because I don't think he can sustain this type of production all season.
And the only, again, just not to continue arguing with you about this, but we also have to know if Spates can come back and be 100%. which could also lead to, you know, Brand still carrying this value. But I just think if you're getting Elton Brand for this much time throughout the course of the season, especially 8 weeks of the season, so we're talking two more months, he's still going to be a number one fantasy option.
Yes.
And that's hard to come by, especially for somebody you drafted with a fifth round pick.
Absolutely.
All right, let's answer some emails here. First email comes to us from David. Does not say from where. He says he was offered Jeff Green for Eric Gordon. He would get Green. Would that be a smart move? Who is the better start, Tyreek Evans or Beno Udrich? Or should I start both of them over Eric Gordon? So let's answer the first question, Sergio.
Okay.
At this point, Eric Gordon has now been dealing with this injury, a groin injury, correct?
Yeah, groin injury. He's missed the last seven games.
Seven games, so he's missed 2 weeks. He's expected to miss at least another week.
No, at least he's going to come back this week. He's going to miss at least one more game.
Okay, so you're probably not going to play him this week, just to be safe.
Right.
So Eric Gordon is out. You're basically talking about two guys from the same draft class. No, one draft class apart.
Yes.
Green is in his third season. Eric Gordon's in his second season. Who would you rather have? I guess it depends on what you need. Sounds like he's got some good guard options with Tyreek Evans, and obviously Beno Udrich has been a good replacement for Kevin Martin. If you need help at forward, I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Jeff Green, he's a player who can get you around 15 points per game. His ceiling as far as scoring I don't think is as high as Gordon, who can get you – he can be a 20-point per game scorer when he's clicking. If you need rebounds, obviously, Green is – if this is a category-based league, again, like you said, it depends on your needs. Green can get you around a block per game. Obviously, that's not something you're going to get from a guard, so it depends on your needs. If this is just straight up head-to-head league – where it's just who can score you the most fantasy points, I would go with Jeff Green right now.
Yes. And then in terms of your starting options, I think you start both those guys over Gordon dealing with the injury.
Yes.
Next email comes to us from John. John writes, do you think Drew Gooden will start over Eric Dampier, I guess when both are healthy? Otherwise, should I hang on to him as my backup forward or go after Darren Collison for a flex option? And would you start Thornton from New Orleans over Jason Williams for 1 week? All right, let's get to the first part of that. Drew Gooden is a must-add at this point over Dampier, and start him over Dampier, I think, when both are healthy. Would you agree?
I do agree. We did talk about this on the podcast the last time we were on this podcast. I don't particularly think that he's going to start necessarily over Eric Dampier, but I do think he's going to start taking a lot of his minutes.
Yes, I would agree.
So I think he's established himself there.
So if you're looking at the two guys, Drew Gooden is definitely the better of the two. So I would drop Dampier for Collison. I think that's a solid move at this point. And if you have Thornton from New Orleans over Jason Williams, I think that's a wash. I mean, I think I'd go with the games played. In New Orleans, you said, only has two games, right?
Right, you play the matchups. Yeah. If you're looking at this week, if you're looking at Orlando having four games and Thornton just having the two.
Mm-hmm.
So,
next email comes to us from Alex. What's wrong with Chauncey Billups? He was my second-round pick. Should I try to trade him? And who can I reasonably ask for in return? So, Let's play the guard for guard game. Is there a guard that's playing at lesser value than Chauncey Billups that you could get that may outplay Chauncey Billups
the rest of the way?
The rest of the way, or at least some portion of the way.
See, I don't think he should give up on Chauncey Billups just yet. I know he's only been around 6 assists per game and 16.5 points. Obviously, that's not the type of production that a player who was drafted in the second round in a lot of leagues, a third round, that's not what you wanted from him. But he's still a player that is going to continue to see his minutes. He's going to play. He's going to get his shots. He's going to get assists. All those numbers are going to increase as the season goes on. I think you hang tight with Chauncey Billups.
All right, quickly, I'm going to give you a couple names. You tell me you'd rather have this guy or Chauncey Billups.
Okay.
Brandon Jennings. Russell Westbrook.
Chauncey Billups.
Derrick Rose.
Chauncey Billups.
Steven Jackson.
Chauncey Billups.
Vince Carter.
Chauncey Billups.
Andre Iguodala. Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo.
Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
So Jennings is really the only one you'd definitely trade right now for.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be something you'd get another owner to do, but if you can, go for it.
Okay, next email comes to us from Jose in New York City. I am in need of a scoring guard who could hit threes and some assists. Could be either point guard or shooting guard for my 12-team head-to-head 9-category league. Tracy McGrady is available on the free agent wire. Do you think he's worth a pickup in place of a Brandon Rush? When do you think T-Mac will be on the court? Well, as we told you, we'll find that out sometime this week. And other players on the waiver wire are Steve Blake, Nate Robinson, Chris Duhon, Allen Iverson, the great Mike Conley, Randy Foy, Darren Collison, Michael Pietras, Marco Bellinelli, or Luke Ridenour? Who is the guy that you would pick up of that group, Serge?
You know what? Steve Blake is an interesting sleeper there. Mm-hmm. They moved Andre Miller back to the bench in Portland. Mm-hmm. Blake has remained in the starting lineup the entire season. It looks like they're going to go with Blake and Brandon Roy in the starting backcourt, with Martell Webster starting at small forward. Blake, I think, is a real sleeper there. He's been putting up some good numbers in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think in terms of threes and assists, that's exactly what you get from somebody like him. Although Luke Ridenour has played well in terms of a backup point guard for the...
That's with Michael Redd.
That's true. That's with Michael Redd. And T-Mac is somebody, I think, if you're desperate, not a bad guy to take a chance on.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think you're not going to get him really at full value until January.
You might not
February.
Be. You could conceivably not be starting him for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So.
This is another guy who's been a little bit of a bust. This comes to us from Brett in Milwaukee. Brett writes, do you think Thaddeus Young is worth a number one waiver claim? I'm deep at forward, but it's hard to pass on him. I'm surprised that he's available in leagues, but he hasn't really been playing well at all.
No, the emergence of Elm Brand, like we talked about, has kind of taken a bite.
And Spates, those two guys together.
Right, has kind of taken a bite out of his fantasy appeal. Is he worth a waiver wire claim? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely.
Well, he says he's deep at forward, though, so I don't know if you drop somebody who's playing well for him. But it depends on your roster at this point. I think if you're looking at, guys who are struggling a little bit, maybe you're holding on Tayshaun Prince,
right.
and I doubt that would be the case if somebody dropped Young. But if you're holding on to, somebody who's not playing well and he's out there, then definitely make that move.
Right.
Last email comes to us from Corey in Brooklyn. He writes, should I drop Udonis Haslem for Ursa Ilyasova? Yes.
Yeah, I do. I think right now Ilyasova has higher upside in terms of his scoring than Udonis Haslem will.
Yeah, I would agree, especially Haslem dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury that he's playing through. You can send us your emails to dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's D as in Desmond, M as in Mason, at CBS. Oh, I have screwed this up. dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. We will make this a weekly part of our podcast stuff that we do here. We'll read your emails and we'll gladly do our best to help you on the air. Again, we'll come to you at least one more time before the Thanksgiving holiday, so you can listen to us then and check out everything that we have to say and do. CBSSports.com, fantasynews.cbsports.com, and Sergio will help you set your lineup. And also, you can chat with him every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, fantasynews.cbsports.com. For Sergio Gonzalez, Adam Azer, Aaron Brown, I am Jamie Eisenberg, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.